this again. O you who believe, whoever among you turns back from his faith, whoever becomes a murtad, he leaves Islam, that he should be warned, or he should know, that Allah will then bring about a people in his place, a people that he loves, and that they love Allah. And the characteristics of these people that Allah loves, and they will love Allah, are very important characteristics that we should all memorize, and we should all try to check ourselves on a daily basis to see if we have these four characteristics. Because I'm sure that there's no one in this room who does not want Allah to love him, and I'm sure that there's no one in this room who does not want to perfect his love for Allah. We all love Allah, right? We all want to perfect our love for him. So we should look for these four characteristics in ourselves. And what are they? To be kind and gentle and humble with the believers. That's number one. To be strict with the disbelievers. To fight in the way of Allah. And to not fear the blame of the blamers. So this is actually a lot of things to talk about, so we're only going to focus really on the first two, which is the subject here today, is being kind with each other and being strict with the disbeliever. Because what you see, unfortunately, in our generation, in this era, is the opposite always happening. Is that we have left the kindness to one another, and we have given that to the kuffar. And we have left the strictness with the kuffar, and we've done it with ourselves. So you see the kuffar now, when they go to our countries, to the Muslim lands, that they're given a hero's welcome. The red carpets are laid out for them. They're given the best treatment. People tolerate them. People tolerate any bad habit that they might have because they want to be kind. But when it comes to the Muslim, you can't tolerate him at all. Any small aspect in him, you just want to bash him and crush him. And this is not the behavior of the people that Allah loves, and this is not the people that love Allah. They do not have this characteristic. They love one another for the sake of Allah, and they tolerate each other for the sake of Allah. And I try to remind people sometimes when we talk about this point that we all have a job, inshallah. And here we are, we're working in an environment, a non-Muslim land. We're working in an environment which undoubtedly, I know that unless you work in the pathologist office where you deal with dead people all the time, unless you're working with dead people, you're dealing with somebody that you don't like. You're dealing with someone that you're not happy with them. Someone whose characteristics turn you off. But what do? You put up with it, because at the end of the week, what are you going to get? You're going to get a paycheck. And you know that if you're going to be bad to this person, if you're going to yell at him, if you're not going to tolerate him, then you're not going to get that paycheck, and in fact, you may not even have a job. So for a few dollars, at the end of the week, we're willing to put up with some real criminals. But Allah has given us Jannah, if we can tolerate each other. And I know, without any doubt, because I know I've worked jobs too, and I know that anyone in here, I would much rather tolerate anyone in here for any time span than to deal with the kuffar for even a few minutes. Because I love you all for the sake of Allah. We are brothers, and we should feel this way, because we all believe in Allah. We all love Rasulullah and we all love the Sahaba. So why is it then that we treat the kuffar well in order to get some small worldly benefit, and we mistreat each other, and we deny ourselves Jannah by that? So we should think about it next time. I'm not telling you now to go and bash your co-workers. We're not doing that, but we should be kind to our brothers. We should save this great kindness and this humility and good treatment for our brothers in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ had a lot to say on the subject of kindness and gentleness, and I think it would be beneficial, inshallah, to think about that. Narrated by Ayyab radiallahu anhu, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْحَى إِلَيَّ أَنْ تَوَاضَعُوا حَيْلَا يَفْخَرَ أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٌ وَلَا يَبْغِيَ أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٌ. So narrated Ayyad that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Allah revealed to me that you should show courtesy and be kind to one another, so that no one should consider himself superior to another, and no one should harm another person. This is part of the revelation of Allah, is to be kind to one another. Because when we start thinking that we're better than other people, when better than the others around us, we're going to start mistreating them, and this is going against the Prophet's command. And we are bound by the Prophet's command to show kindness to one another. This hadith Muslim. And narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, also in Muslim, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِنْ مَالٍ وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا عَفُوًا إِلَّا عِزًّا وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. The Prophet ﷺ, he said on the authority of Abu Huraira, that charity does not diminish the wealth that it comes from, which we all know. And Allah increases the honor of the one who forgives. If you forgive someone, Allah is going to increase you by that forgiveness to your brother in honor. He's going to increase your honor. And the one who humbles himself for the sake of Allah, this is exactly what we're talking about. The one who humbles himself for the sake of Allah, Allah will raise him in rank on the Day of Judgment, inshallah. And this is where you need it. We don't need the rank here. The titles and the honors and everything on this earth, they're fleeting and they're imperfect. But on the Day of Judgment, if you want the perfect honor and you want the everlasting honor, then this is what we should be doing. We should be humbling ourselves with our brothers. When I think about humbling one another, we think about, for those brothers, inshallah, and sisters who have had a chance to go to make Hajj, and Allah accepted from you, inshallah, that when you were in Hajj, I'm sure everyone experienced it before. That everybody, especially on those first few days of Hajj, everybody's trying so hard. Brother, please, you go first. Open the door for the brother. Brother, no, you go eat first. You know, you want to stand at the end of the line. You want all your brothers to go first. Brother, you take the big comfortable bed. I sleep on the floor if there's not enough beds. So everyone's trying so hard. You're competing with one another to, you know, give and to give and to be kind and to humble yourself. That's on the first day of Hajj or the second day of Hajj. And by the end of Hajj, what's going on? Everybody knows. They're criticizing each other. They're criticizing the government. They're criticizing the people. They're criticizing everything. The buses aren't good. The food isn't good. The haram is too crowded. Everything's a problem by that time. But think about those first few days. How you tried for the sake of Allah, knowing that it's so important to be kind, that you tried so hard to give everything to your brother. Now why can't we do that on a daily basis? Why can't you go back and every day review that? Now, we're not saying this is an easy thing. Without a doubt, there are people, and if, like I said, if you've been to Hajj, then you know. You've had to sleep with people, you've had to, you know, sleep in the same rooms with them, you've had to travel with them, and you know, some people are very irritating. Some people have very irritating aspects of them. But you're being tolerating it for the sake of Allah. It comes also even to your family. Undoubtedly, your family is large, inshallah, and there's some people in your family maybe you don't get along with. So don't put yourself in a situation you know you're going to cause problems. Don't get into that argument. You know you've been in that argument before, and you're not going to win it, and you're just going to get angry about it. So avoid these things. You should be kind and gentle with each other. So think back to those days of Hajj, those first few days when you wanted so much to give everything to your brothers. You wanted to be so kind. You wanted to be so perfect in front of Allah. And do that every day. Take it one day at a time. That's all it takes. Concerning the manners, the Prophet ﷺ was described by Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, where he said about him, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And you are of a great character, is what Allah said about the Prophet ﷺ. You are of a great character. And where else does Allah say in the Quran? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Right? That you have in the Prophet of Allah a great example. A great role model here you have. And how is he describing him? لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. He's saying that you have a great character. You have a great manners with people. So who should we be striving to be like right now? We shouldn't be striving to be like the movie stars or anything like that, but you have here the great character. And even for what? Even Allah mentions it in the Quran. He said, if you want to have a role model for what? Who wants to meet Allah, who knows he's going to meet Allah on the Day of Judgment, and he expects the Day of Judgment. If you want to meet Allah, and you know you're going to be there on the Day of Judgment, you'll be accounted for, then take this man as your example, because he won't let you go wrong. This is what we should be doing. And how was he with the people? We see how easy and gentle he was with the people, subhanAllah. How kind he was. And we all know, of course, we love Umar ibn Khattab, but we know about early on in Umar's life, when he was still an early Muslim, when anyone would abuse the Prophet ﷺ, what did it was Umar? Umar's sword was out, and he was ready, he had the sword at the guy's neck. He says, give me the order, so Allah, I'm going to take it off. And we love Umar for that anxiety, that he's so anxious to please Allah and to please the Prophet ﷺ. And we loved him for that. But look at the behavior of the Prophet ﷺ. You'll say, no, Umar, put that sword back. It's okay, no big deal. Alhamdulillah. For example, the man that came, the desert Arab that came, and he grabbed the Prophet by the scarf. He was on his horse or the camel, and he pulled on him hard, and it hurt the Prophet ﷺ. How did he deal with him? He didn't say, you stupid Arab, what are you doing? He looked at him and he said, Alhamdulillah, that's okay. He doesn't understand. Not everybody has the same intellect that you have. Not everybody can see things with your perspective. It's okay, let it pass. So what? After a while, you can answer this man's question. He'll leave. Alhamdulillah, we can keep on going. But we're going to stop. We're going to argue. We're going to fight. What kind of picture is this? And you see this happening in the masajid. People fighting in the masajid. Police being called. People fist fighting. Beating each other up. Putting each other in hospitals. Why? Is this the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? Narrated Anas ibn Malik. On the authority of the Prophet ﷺ. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahsana nas khuluqa. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the best manners among all the people. This is the description of Rasulullah, that his manners were perfect, mashallah. That Allah had perfected his manners. And what did he encourage us to do? He encouraged us to do the same thing. Narrated An-Nawas bin Sam'an radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa said that virtue or righteousness is the good conduct. If you want to know what the virtue is or what righteousness is, then it comes in one word or two words, I guess you can say, good manners. You want to have virtue, you want to have righteousness, it's good manners. Because good manners encompasses so much of this deen. Narrated Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qad, لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاحشا ولا متفاحشا وكان يقول إن من خياركم أحسنكم أخلاقا. Narrated in Bukhari Muslim. Recorded in Bukhari Muslim, I'm sorry. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he says, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that he never spoke indecently, and he never listened to indecent talk. And I think about this sometimes when we're at work. Undoubtedly, you know, people around us are going to start talking indecent, because we work, unfortunately, in a place where there's a lot of indecent people. So people start talking about things that should be behind closed doors, things that belong between a man and his wife, or a wife and her husband, and people want to start talking about these things, or what they did on Friday night and whatnot. Well, we should tell these people, because it is a right of us. This is called harassment. If you're not comfortable with this, and you shouldn't be comfortable with this kind of speech as a Muslim, even to listen to it, just say it. Just say, listen, I don't feel comfortable with you talking about this. You know, if you please, do not talk about these things when I'm here. Because it's your right. It's harassment if they talk about this kind of stuff when you're around. But how many of us are doing that? How many of us are standing up for our rights? And standing up for the sunnah of the Prophet, which this is it. I mean, how are we going to make da'wah, okay, if everyone sees us like everybody else? So yeah, you know, Muhammad was sitting there with us, and you know, we were talking about what this girl did and who she was with on Friday night, and he was laughing, and he had a good time. So Muhammad, now what kind of da'wah is Muhammad making? Or Ali, or whoever. But if they say, you know, we were talking about this, and Muhammad got really angry, you know, and he really was uncomfortable by this, and he told us just to stop it. And that's really, you know, odd. That's a really good thing. I wish more people were like that. You know how many people are going to say that, subhanAllah? Because you're going to start differentiating yourself from the other people. And this is the da'wah that you can do without any words whatsoever. You don't have to sit there and tell them Allah said and the Prophet ﷺ said, but you can do it through your manners. You can do it through your actions. And people are going to say, subhanAllah, look at this. This man, there's something about him. I don't know what it is. He's so kind. He's so tolerant. He's got such good manners. He's not an indecent person. People are going to want to inspect more and say, what makes him this way? What makes him different than all these other criminals that we work with? And then they're going to start to say, oh, this is Islam. He's a Muslim. And that's what it is. And so this is one of the ways that you can make a very effective da'wah. Because it makes no difference, honestly. If you want to tell them the hadith of the Prophet, you want to tell them the verses of the Quran, but then you sit and listen to this kind of speech, it doesn't take you anywhere. Because then they realize, oh, these Muslims just like everybody else, but they just have a different book, that's all. But behavior-wise, it doesn't make a difference. That book does not impact on their life whatsoever. And narrated Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, أَكْمَلُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ, which is the hadith of Tirmidhi, which is sahih. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, on the authority of, or Abu Huraira related, on the authority of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that among the believers the most complete in regards to their iman. We all want to complete our iman, right? None of us here is going to be happy with half iman or a third of iman. We want to have 100% iman. Because we know that we get to 100% iman, you're looking now at ihsan. You go on further and further and further. We want to get closer to Allah. We want to be better people. We want to be better worshippers. And so if you want to complete your iman, the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who has the complete iman is the one with good manners. And the best of you is the one who is best to his wife. So inshallah we'll take the break and we'll discuss this a little bit more inshallah. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu as-salamu ala Rasulillah wa ba'd. So why is it that the Prophet ﷺ here spoke about wives? He says the best of you is best to his wives, or wife if you have one. Because this is one of the big areas, because you see some people, wallahi, and I think everyone in this room has seen someone like this with this description. You come to the masjid, brother's there holding the door open for you. Brother, you want something to drink? I'm going to go get it for you right now. You want some water? I can go make you some tea, akhi. You want some coffee? Alhamdulillah. And you go and you sit down, he wants to come and he wants to do anything for you. Brother, always at the masjid, mashallah. Any kind of help you need? Oh, brother, come, I'll give it to you. You need my car, akhi? Oh, take it, man. Alhamdulillah. Take it for a couple of days. And you go to this guy's house, you see a completely different story. His wife is complaining. He's never around. He's never helping us. You know, I got to take care of this family all by myself. You know, there's no money left in the house for us. He's not kind. He comes home late at night. Doesn't spend any time with us. He's not teaching us. He's not helping us. I think everyone has probably met someone with some similar description. Now, is this the correct thing? Is it the correct thing to come now to the masjid and you leave your family and you leave the kindness to your family and distribute it among other people? We have to be kind to each other. It's very essential to be kind to each other, but we also have to be, we have to understand that our family has priorities on us too. That they have rights on us. Our children have rights on us. And if you're not going to be home raising those kids, if you're not going to be home teaching those kids, if you're not going to be home teaching that woman that you're married to, and telling her about the deen, and showing her these good characteristics, then what do you expect is going to come out of your house? What do you expect your children are going to grow up with? So this is something very, very critical. You know, I know one brother, subhanAllah, was in Florida. He had been involved, unfortunately, in some bad practices in his life. He used to be a used car salesman. He used to roll back the odometers on the cars. And he'd been doing this for a number of years, and finally, I guess the weight of the issue of his crime had caught up to him, and he was very scared, and he said, I'm going to go to the hellfire. I need to make tawbah immediately. So how did he make tawbah? He gave away his partnership in the dealership, and he said, I'm going to stay in the masjid for the rest of my life. From Fajr to Aisha, I'm going to stay in the masjid. That's going to be my thing. I'm just going to stay there. So I said, well, who's going to pay for your family, by the way? Oh, my wife is going to go work. Is that the Islam? You're going to send your wife out now to work so that you can sit in the masjid? Is this the deen? Is this the manners? Is this the way we should be treating each other? The kindness that we're supposed to have? So you have to be very careful about this. But this general concept of good manners, it has to start at home. Because if you're not good to your own wife or your own spouse and your own children, you're not good to your parents, if you're not good to your family members, your brothers and sisters, your blood brothers and sisters, if you're not good to them, how can you expect to be good to anyone else? How do you expect that you come to the masjid and you're going to be nice to the people and you're going to reject your kindred and Allah will accept you on the Day of Judgment? We have to be careful about this. So this is something that people think that when they go home, nobody can see. And so they want to come to the masjid, and again, we have to remember our intention here. Because the first three people that will go to the hellfire, and a'udhu billah, on the Day of Judgment, they will be people that testify to Islam. But they had done great actions, but for the wrong reason. So we have to be good for the sake of of Allah. We have to do it starting at home and also bringing it to every sphere of life around us. Be it our workplace, be it in the masjid, be it on the street. But it has to begin at home. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ was mentioning here to remind us and to keep us straight in this regard. And on Abu Umama al-Bahili, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ حَسُنَ خُلُقُ. Sahih Abu Dawood. And the Prophet ﷺ said that I guarantee a home in the highest part of paradise, in the highest part of Jannah, to who? Here we're not talking about jihad fi sabilillah, we're not talking about the one who memorized the Quran, we're talking about the one with good manners. And he will have the best, the highest part of Jannah. And this is actually the third description of three in this hadith. So this is the highest description of what he mentioned in this hadith. The one who has the best manners will have the highest position in Jannah. the highest place in Jannah. This is very critical. This shows how important it is. And you think about it. What good is your memorizing Quran? What good is your salah in the middle of the night? What good is your making jihad fi sabilillah if at the end of the day you're treating everybody bad? Because this is not what Allah brought. This is not what the Prophet ﷺ brought. So a lot of times we're looking to these really high deeds, which are very good, and they are exceptional, and we should be struggling to get to them. But if you forget the basics, if you forget the simple things at the bottom, which not so simple actually, then what about the rest of your deeds? If your foundation is built on garbage, what are you going to expect at the top? And this is what we keep seeing today, and that's why I wanted to talk about it. So the last few hadith that we mentioned, inshallah, I hope that so that we can solidify our understanding of this topic, is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He says, قَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تُعَشَّاجْ عَبْدِ الْقَيْسِ إِنَّ فِيكْ خَصْلَتَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمُ اللَّهِ الْحِلْمُ وَالْأَنَا. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to this Sahabi, Ashaj, he said to him, you have two qualities that Allah Azza wa Jal, he loves them. Two qualities that Allah is really loves. And what are these two qualities that Allah loves that we all want? Al-Hilm wal-Ana. And this is kind of difficult for me to translate. I didn't like the translation in the book. But Al-Hilm is to be calm and to be mild and to be easy. And Al-Ana is to be not to be hasty. Be gentle again. So this is, again, part of good manners. Gentleness and ease is important. And this is something Allah loves. Allah does not like harshness. Allah does not like people to be cracking whips on each other's backs. You have to be easy with each other and gentle. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she stated that in the, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ وَيُعْطِي الرِّفْقَ عَلَى الرِّفْقَ مَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ وَمَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى مَا سِوَى. In the hadith of Muslim, that Aisha radiallahu anha, she stated, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah is kind, and He loves kindness. And He gives to kindness that which He does not give to harshness. And in fact, He gives to kindness that which He does not give to anything else. So if you want Allah's blessing, then know that there is that part of it, a lot of it comes in kindness. And another hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, that the Prophet ﷺ said, "When يُحْرَمَ الرِّفْقُ يُحْرَمَ الْخَيْرُ كُلَّهُ." That whoever is devoid, whoever has no kindness in him, then he has no goodness in him. This is how important it is. And the last hadith which we mentioned, inshallah, is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, which is a beautiful hadith which the Prophet ﷺ gave to him as advice on how to make da'wah. A very, very simple, easy hadith that we can all memorize and we should all check on a daily basis if we're applying it. يَسِّرْ وَلَا تُعَسِّرْ بَشِّرْ وَلَا تُنَسِّرْ. Make things easy on the people and don't make them hard. Give glad tidings and don't push people away. Don't drive the people away with your activity or your behavior or your speech or whatever. Don't drive them away. I look, for example, at the Prophet ﷺ when the desert Arab came to him and he asked him, he said, O Rasulullah, he wanted to know if he was going to be able to make it to Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ told him that you have to pray and you have to fast and you have to so on and so forth. And so he said, Oh Rasulullah, I don't have much of prayer and fasting. He had it. Let's not go away. Let's not take the wrong idea here. He was praying and he was fasting. He was meeting the obligations. But he said, I don't have much. Okay, he's still meeting them. But maybe he did not pray, get up and pray in the middle of the night and whatnot and whatnot. But he said, I don't have much of that, Rasulullah. And he said, but I love Allah and His Messenger. So what did he say? He said, forget it. You're lost. Get out of my way. You have to go and pray if you're not going to. You're going to have to go and make, you know, 20 rak'at tahajjud if you're going to expect to be like me. What did he say? So something so gentle and so beautiful, and he welcomed this man in. He said, "You will be with those whom you love." And the Sahaba said that they never heard anything from the mouth of Rasulullah that they were so happy about except this statement. Why? Because they did love Allah and His Messenger. And so when they heard that, they said, "We're going to be with Allah and His Messenger." Alhamdulillah. They were so happy about that because they loved Rasulullah and they did not want to be separated from him. And they were afraid. They said, Oh Rasulullah, he's going to be in the highest levels of Jannah. Where are we going to be? The Sahaba said, we're going to be in the bottom of Jannah. Barely making it into Jannah. So we'll never see him. And so when he said this, they were so happy. And who did he say it to? He didn't say it to Abu Bakr. He didn't say it to Umar, who were piling mountains of good deeds. He said to someone who said, I don't have much of Salah or Siyam. And so this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, Bashir wa la tunaffir. Because when you tell this man this, what are you going to do? Bring him closer or push him away? Bring him closer. He's going to be happy with this. He's going to be charged. He's going to be motivated to do more. When you make things easy on people, they're going to want to do more. I was reading an article, for example, a medical article, and they said that some people, they show up to the doctor's office. You know, some guy might show up, and subhanAllah, I mean, some people, they have difficulties. Without a doubt, not everybody's the same. Someone might be very overweight. And so the doctor might say to him, man, you got to lose 100 pounds. He just say, what? Oh my God, forget it. The guy can hardly get up out of his chair. You're going to tell him to go and jog a couple of miles a day and ride a bike? Can't do it. So you're going to make him depressed. It's going to be too hard for him. He's going to turn away. But you can tell him, hey, you know what? If you can lose just like 5 pounds, you're going to be okay. And they did a study, and they said, subhanAllah, they said, look, when you tell this guy to lose 5 pounds of weight, even though he might be 300, 400, whatever, he's going to go and do it. He's going to say, okay, I'm going to limit here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up and walk 10 minutes a day. And they do it. A lot of times they come back, they lost even more than 5 pounds. They lost 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pounds. It's the same thing. Make things easy on the people. This religion is easy. And it's the Prophet ﷺ who said that. In the deen yusra, that this religion is easy. So let's not make it hard. Now the real specific reason I wanted to talk about this is because we're living, unfortunately, now in an era in which people, as I said, we all have felt it. We all have felt the crack of the bat or the stick of somebody in this deen. Someone who thinks they're better than you. And the first thing that hadith we talked about was the Prophet ﷺ said, it has been revealed to me that we should be kind and courteous to each other so that no one should think he's superior over another. When we look at the sunnah or the behavior of Abu Bakr and Umar, for example, we wish we had more time, we can't talk about more than that. But there used to be a woman, a blind woman, who used to live at the outskirts of Medina. And she used to need some assistance. So Umar ibn Khattab would like to go out and try to help her. But every time he would go out, he'd discover that someone had already come and helped her. So he tried to go earlier and earlier and earlier, and every time someone had beaten him already. So he said, I need to find out who this person is. I'm going to sit here, I'm going to wait. I'm going to come at the very early part of the day, and I'm going to wait and see who is this person who comes to help this lady. Who is beating me in this goodness? Guess who? Abu Bakr. During his khilafah, nonetheless. During his khilafah, he's taking care of the entire ummah. He's fighting the people who don't want to pay zakah. He's trying to expand the borders of the ummah. He's going to the outskirts of Medina to see one woman who's blind, who's got no one to help her, and he's going to help her. And he's beating Umar ibn Khattab in the matter. This is the kindness that they had. This is what caused them to be the group of people that Allah said, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas." You are the best generation ever raised up for mankind because of this behavior. We look at Uthman ibn Affan that he was the Khalifa, busy. He used to have someone bring him the water to make wudu. But at night time when he wanted to get up and make the wudu and pray, tahajjud or any kind of extra salah for Allah's sake, he would go get the water himself. And then finally someone said, why don't you get one of your servants to get you the water? He said, it's late and they need to sleep. This is the Khalifa thinking about the slaves. This is the behavior of the people. This is the behavior of the people who were refined. Their character was refined at the hand of Rasulullah. He refined them to this degree. And Uthman ibn Affan, one of the wealthiest people in that time, in that place, he was respecting and concerned about the feelings and the rest of the people who were supposed to be aiding him. Whereas now we see people overdoing it. You have an employee and you kill the guy that, with work. Overload him. That two people couldn't do that kind of load. And it's something we see, and people go away from this. I've seen so many businesses in the United States run by Muslims that they employ non-Muslims, and this is an enormous opportunity for Dawah. And people running away from their shops and their stores and their whatever because of bad treatment. They didn't run away saying, MashaAllah, these are the best people I've ever met. They're so kind, they're so easy. They're saying, I've never seen worse people than that. And it's so hard for me to... What are you going to say? Well, that's not really part of Islam. Well, I don't care whether that's not part of Islam, because they did this and this to me. So I saw Islam up front and personal. What kind of da'wah are we making? What kind of da'wah are we making with one another? when we come and we say, oh, I'm from this group, and we are the fi'an najiyah, we're the saved sect, and you guys aren't, and so I'm going to beat you with these words. It doesn't work that way. If you're really from the saved sect, if you're really from the people who follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, if you're really following that, then you should have this thing very clear. You should be good with the people, because this is the only way people are going to come to you. And I tell you, if you look at the da'iyah, the people who make da'wah, who are successful both in the West and in the East, you find them that they're so easy, and they're so gentle, and they're so kind, and they never, ever give you the impression they're talking down to you. They always give you the impression that, hey, we're all together, and we're all talking together. If I make a mistake, hey, let me know. Not that I am masoom, and this, and this, and that, and you can't catch me. And so people get sick and tired of that, and they say, I don't want, if this is Islam, I don't want it. Because it isn't Islam, unfortunately. And this is unfortunate. And so this is the advice to the da'iyah among us, inshallah, that people are making da'wah, to remember this aspect. It's a very critical aspect. To be easy and gentle with the people. And speak, you know, together. Don't speak down to people. And amongst one another, we have to be kind. You have to be kind to one another. We should be calling and questioning about each other and whatnot. You know, for example, yesterday there was a big fire in one of the complexes that houses a lot of Muslims. And we should have been aggressive and say, oh, subhanAllah, there's Muslims living there. Are they okay? Call them, find out. This is part of the good character, inshallah. And this is, make people love each other. Make people say, mashallah, this brother is so concerned about me, mashallah. I feel closer to him already. And so if that brother is making da'wah, he's going to say, well, I like what he's doing. I want to know why he's doing it, so I want to learn. I want to come closer. And then you bring the people to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You bring the non-Muslims to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You bring them to the deen. And you bring them in the right way. So I hope, inshallah, this has been beneficial for you and for me. And I ask you to forgive me, inshallah, if I have spoken down, for that was not my intention. Wallahi, I love all of you for the sake of Allah, and I am verily, definitely the least of you. And so I hope that I have not, you know.